This is the Smallmouth Crush Podcast Season 2. If you're a hardcore angler, you've come to the right place. Some of the top local and regional anglers in North America. Anglers who consistently finish near the top in both largemouth and smallmouth bass fishing tournaments. Travis and his guest will discuss techniques and strategies used to help these anglers stay so consistent and help you become a better angler and gain an edge on your body of water. And now, here's your host of the Smallmouth Crush Podcast, Travis Manson.
Hello and welcome to the Smallmouth Crush Podcast. My name is Travis Manson, and we got another great guest lined up for everybody today, learning what it takes to be a top regional local tournament angler when it comes to both largemouth and smallmouth. We got a smallmouth specialist ready to go. I'm sure he catches a few largemouth here and there, too. We'll ask him. We'll get to it. But first, before we get into it, let's talk about, of course, The Real Shot. It's my go-to tackle store, therealshot.com. All the top brands that you can think of. Megabass, Jackal, Daiwa, Shimano, St. Croix Rods, Kitech, Berkeley, VMC. I don't know. They got it all. Check it out, therealshot.com. You can use my code SmallmouthCrush15, and you'll actually get 15% off your first order. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Travis. Thank you for having me.
Man, I can't wait to hear all the great information you're going to share when it comes to smallmouth fishing, something I love. You guys know season one was all about the top smallmouth anglers across the country, and you definitely could have fit into that category, but we had to squeeze you into season two, talking about your tournament success and how well you've done up in that area. I can see a couple of them trophies everyone's gunning for in the background, so excited to hear some tournament stories and some different techniques that have worked for you along the way. But before we get into it, if you could just give us a quick introduction about yourself, the areas that you fish, and some of the things you have planned for the future.
Certainly. So I'm from Northwest Ohio in a little town called Wapakoneta. I've been tournament fishing for about 20, 21 years, maybe longer than that. I'm 45 now. I started out in a club fishing just out of college here in the local Lima area, Lima, Ohio, and I mostly fish for smallmouth up on Lake Erie, and I've been trying to work into St. Clair and really learn that lake as I progress in tournament fishing.
So Lake Erie is really where you started?
Yes. Yeah. Lake Erie and the local lakes here around Ohio, a little bit on the Ohio River. The Ohio River is awful tough. And sure. As you can imagine, you know, you can either go to the river and fish for, you know, little 12-inch largemouth, or you can go to Lake Erie and fish for.
Well, who wouldn't want to go to the Ohio River? Come on.
That river's tough.
Sign me up. So Lake Erie, the Detroit River, yeah. Lake St. Clair, you got Lake Huron. You got a little bit of everything to dabble in. Where are you concentrating most of your time nowadays?
Nowadays, mostly in St. Clair. The cycle has just been better on St. Clair. Those lakes kind of have gone in bigger fish on Erie a while ago, and now there seems to be quite a few bigger fish on St. Clair, and I think everybody really knows that. So I've been trying to learn that and really understand how to chase them around that lake, really learn the St. Clair River as well, and try and expand upon what I can do there. If it gets to Lake Erie, you know, if we have a Detroit River tournament and I can run south, I'll do it. But a lot of times we, you know, have our first three BFLs out of St. Clair somewhere, and we'll fish that area of the lake without running all the way down.
So you wouldn't really think about running down to Lake Erie nowadays?
I've done it. Yes. Yeah. I fished the North Shore a few times running down from Harley Ensign. You can get on a good crankbait bite there in the summer and sometimes later into the early fall. And I've ran down to do that.
Crank it for smallies on the Great Lakes. I love it. What's your go-to crankbait for that style on Lake Erie?
Usually it's going to be a Strike King 5XD, or it could be a Damiki 300 or 200. If you're on St. Clair, I'll throw a lot of the Rapala DT series crankbaits. We cover a lot of the water column with that.
Now, Lake St. Clair obviously differs from Lake Erie, but there's probably a lot of similarities, but I would assume there's a lot more different ways you can catch them on St. Clair. Would that assumption be correct?
Absolutely. They're two very different lakes. So Lake Erie is all about rock piles, all about little gravel patches, small drops into the channel. I tend to fish Lake Erie very deep. But St. Clair, you can fish from, right up really shallow in Anchor Bay all the way out to the center of the lake and fishing 21 feet of water. And you're really looking for, you know, your large flats of sandgrass with bald spots in them. And what I like to look for out there, Travis, if you can find it, are little sand ridges. You can find these sand ridges if you're running along at idle speed on a calm or a slow speed, 25 miles an hour on a calm day. You'll see that fish finder of yours just jump up just a little bit. So if you see that on St. Clair, stop, turn around, and explore it. Because a lot of times, if you're lucky, you'll find that to be a sand ridge. And those sand ridges can run for 100 yards. I found one that runs for about a quarter mile. And those can be pretty special on St. Clair.
So when you're trying to locate those, and you're saying you're running at kind of a faster idle speed or maybe on pad even.
On pad.
Are you relying, what type of sonar are you relying? Are you 2D or like you're down?
2D while you're running. And if you okay. see anything, I mean, anywhere on the Great Lakes, if you're running and you see a little blip on the screen, if you're in an area where it's not on the map that there's a contour, you really need to stop, slow down, and take a look at that kind of thing. Figure out what it is. I've found shipwrecks that way and on St. Clair sand ridges, all kinds of fun stuff to fish that way.
So what makes these sand ridges so special?
I think they're used as travel lines for the smallmouth. So as they're moving from one section of the lake to the other, it'd be like a grass edge. Or in St. Clair, they might only be 6 inches tall. They'll get on one end and use it to travel to the other end of wherever they're going. If you can find, usually it occurs on one end or the other of the ridge where there might be a little higher spot, a turn, that's going to be where they usually stop and you can focus on them at that point.
Does that change from year to year or is it pretty consistent if you find one? I'm just curious, you know, there's a lot of current. Maybe grass takes over at some point. Maybe that's a good thing or a bad thing. Does that pretty much stay consistent or does that change?
It can change. So if grass takes over and covers them up, usually that voids out the area. You don't want to stick around. If the grass gets above that little ridge, the fish will move on. What I have found with the current, I think a lot of these are formed and it's been said on some of your other shows, they're formed by large ice sheets that tend to get tipped up and sink down into the lake. I think what happens is when you find them, if you find them early in their life cycle, they'll be taller. And as the current erodes them down, they can be less pronounced and tend to produce less as time goes on.
What depth zone are you talking? Could they be shallow as well as deep?
I've got a couple up in 14 foot and all the way out to the center of the lake in 21 foot.
Now, what would be your approach to target these? Once you locate a ridge, you know there's fish on it. How are you going to approach that?
First thing you'll do is you'll map it out. I like to go and crisscross it the entire length. And as I hit it each time, put a mark on the high spot until I find, say, the irregularity. And then I'll put a different color waypoint or maybe a stop sign on that irregularity. So I know that's where I want to focus. When you come back to fish that at tournament day, I set up downwind. I like to fish a lot of these with drop shots, throw a crankbait over them. St. Clair, if you get some calm weather, throw a spy bait. Any combination of that usually works pretty well.
So spy bait, cranks, and drop shotting. Are you going to power fish? You going to power fish that first? Or what determines if you're going to pick up a drop shot over a crankbait?
Confidence. Usually it's confidence. And I have more confidence on the drop shot than really anything else.
What's your bait of choice? Or do you have a variety?
I've got a variety. So I'll throw anything from the Z2, the TRD, Jackal Crosstail Shads, and of course the Gulp Series baits as well.
What would be your favorite pattern if you could choose one on St. Clair to fish and technique? Like if you could just have a fun day of fishing, what are you throwing and where are you targeting these fish?
Spy bait. Actually, that's become one of my favorite ways to fish out there. They hit that thing pretty hard. And if you can get them on that, it's just a fun bite to fish. It can be fished anywhere from your shallow end of St. Clair up in the St. Clair River and as deep as you want to go.
A lot of people have a lot of different opinions when it comes to spy baiting and how they fish it and their techniques. I'd like to hear your setup, rod and reel, line, as well as your favorite brand. And I'll probably drill you on a few more questions after that about spy baiting.
Okay. The rod, I've got a Kistler, old drop shot rod from Kistler. It's a, I believe it's a 6.9 Kistler rod, just your medium action for a drop shot. I still use a Stratic reel. I will always throw that on braid. So I use Daiwa Tsunami braid. Then I'll use a pretty long leader, Seaguar in BizX, 8-pound or 10-pound leader, just depending on what depth I'm fishing.
How do you like that Seaguar? I heard a lot of good things about it.
That's my fluorocarbon of choice.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I've also used a Seaguar at BrazeX, and I've had a little less luck with that. But the Seaguar in BizX, man, you can tow a boat with that if you want.
And I'm learning as I go as well when it comes to different lines and all the products that are out there. But I'm looking in. In fact, this year I'm going to try that a little bit more. And I always got confused because there's so many different lineups in that in Seaguar's lineup of products. That's like, where do you start? But that Invisx sounds promising. I'm going to definitely try that. So what pound are you going to use with that?
Typically 10 pounds. So 10 pound when I'm out in Lake St. Clair, when I'm up in the river and I'm throwing a spy bait around, and I like to throw the spy bait on flats in the river, I'll go a little heavier. I'll go 12 pound with the river current and the way those fish hit it. Sometimes on a short line, they'll break you off if you don't have a little heavier line.
And then what would be your spy bait brand of choice?
Duo Realis. So I like to use, I got it right here, this little guy. It's just a shiner color. It's kind of a brown back and kind of a pearl belly. And it's the 80 size. So it's the smaller size. I think they can get that in their mouth a little better. Once they're on, they're usually hooked up. Take your time and reel them in nice and slow.
How does a typical retrieve work with a spy bait for you?
Usually, I like to throw it out, count down to whatever depth you feel you need to be at. If you're out in 20 foot, maybe you count to 18 and then reel in really slow. And you got to realize that's going to start coming up to you. So what I like to do is give it a little twitch after about maybe 20 seconds of reeling, and then reel again, real slow. Let it fall to the bottom and keep going. So I'm not always having a constant reel into the boat. I like a little bit of reaction to that lure as it's coming back to the boat.
I think that retrieve and having a visual in your mind of what that bait's doing is really important, especially to keep that in the strike zone the longest. Because you're right, when you're casting it out there and pendulating them back and it's coming up through the water column, it might not be exactly where you want it. It might only be in that strike zone for a little bit of time if you're just randomly fishing and, you know, not paying attention. I think that's one of the keys to fishing that bait. For a lot of guys that haven't used a spy bait, it's a very efficient way to fish because you can cover a lot of water if you keep it in that depth zone. But the biggest thing is you got to throw it around fish to get the confidence in finding those fish. It sounds like you have things dialed in when it comes to these sand ridges. What are some other types of structure that you're going to fish that spy bait around?
One of the things I've been doing lately is running up into the St. Clair River and trying to learn a lot of the current flats up there in the river. So I've fished that a lot up in the river, actually, in that 4 foot of water or less in those current stretches. It just is a good way to really power fish, actually, the river and cover a little bit more water as you go. Out in the lake, if you can find a bald spot within the grass out there, you've got acres and acres and acres of sandgrass as you get out into that lake. And if you're able to locate an area where you've got a good bald spot or maybe some sandgrass with some large cabbage mixed in, get out there and just start reeling that really slow and give it a little couple twitches once or twice as you bring it in. That'll really trigger the fish.
So throwing the spy bait, a lot of great success with that. I want to know, what are some techniques that you want to improve upon or know that will probably work in that zone, but you just haven't fished a whole lot?
That's an easy question for me. One thing I need to work on is swim baits. I have a good selection of them. I like to throw your Kytex swim baits. but I just don't have enough confidence in them yet so that they're the first thing I go to when I get out there. I know they catch them a lot on that up here. I just haven't really got the confidence in that or even an A-rig. I know a lot of people will throw that out there as well. And I need to work on that. I know it catches them and I know you can use a swim bait all year long. I haven't gotten around to learning the intricacies of that bait.
Well, awesome. I got some questions I want to get to. I see a couple of them first place trophies. I'd love to hear a couple stories when it comes to some of your tournament success, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Smallmouth Crush Podcast. Don't rush out to the water just yet. We'll be right back after this break.
Well, hey guys, I teamed up with Beast Coast Fishing to design a sneaky little jig that's going to help you catch more fish, whether it be smallmouth, spotted bass, largemouth. This thing, for all you can see this, who are watching this on the YouTube channel, a sneaky little finesse jig, no weed guard, comes in quarter, 3/8, and 1/2 ounce. Very thin skirt, right? Not a lot of skirt material. It's designed to emphasize the trailer that you're using. So put your favorite trailer on. I prefer like a TRD, any type of craw, a Smalley Beaver works great. Z-Man makes a lot of great trailers as well for this jig. I've been throwing a lot this season. I've been catching some amazing fish. Like I am a jig fanatic right now. I'll drop straight down on them over deep water. I'll make cast. I'll actually drag this as well. Killer little finesse football jig. It's actually the Beast Coast Open Water Sniper Jig. Head on over to beastcoastfishing.com and check them out today. All right, perfect, Matt. Great information. You know, I see some of those trophies in the background. Love to hear some stories when it comes to your tournament success. Did a lot of those come from Lake Erie and St. Clair?
Both of them came from Lake Erie, actually. Both Lake were Erie. Out of the Detroit River in BFLs that I ran south.
South, and, okay. Yeah.
So both of those were tournaments where I fished pretty deep around north of Pelee. Many of the little ridges that drop into the shipping lane or ridges that might be on some of the bigger reef complexes out there. As far as memorable and how those went, I think when it's your time to win, it's just your time to win. One of those in particular, as I didn't have a chance to practice, but it's one of my favorite areas to run to. And as I was driving up, I was speaking to another friend of mine and he says, when you get out there, you're just going to be amazed when you drop your graph in the lake, it's loaded. Of course, we ran out there to the same spot. He got there first. As I was pulling up, he was netting a fish and I set up in the wind there and caught two or three. And I'm sure you've seen this, Travis, the smallmouth. They can, once they get pressured, they can tend to sort of short strike it. They'll pull your bait off of your drop shot hook. They were doing that to me and he was only a few, 40 yards away from me or less. And I could see him doing that to him as well. I sat down, I got to fix this. So I changed hooks. Instead of having your drop shot hook, your Gamagatsu split shot drop shot hook, I went to a little different style hook, a rebarb hook, one that I could thread the bait quite a bit farther back, stood back up on the deck. Like, I'll fix you, and threw that bait out there, and right away, caught one. And it was just about every cast, you'd catch one, until you really wore the area out, and you really pull those fish up and off. It pulled them up and off the ridge. So once they stopped biting, I run off to another spot. Pulled up there, caught a few more, and came back to that same little area. Started fishing. And like I said, when it's your time to win, it's your time to win. I remember that day I set the hook on one and my reel just broke in half and hit the deck. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right.
It grabbed my line and actually hand lined him in. Big old 5-pounder, brought him right to the boat just like this. Co-angler scooped him up and there you go. It was meant to be.
When you've seen that particular success by threading that hook on your drop shot bait. I'm asking this because it's a way of rigging a drop shot bait that I have not done a whole lot of. Mm-hmm. I've certainly done it, but I haven't done it to the extent that a lot of other guys are because of those short strikes, because of the fact that some baits actually, I think, may even fish better with that way of rigging that hook. What determines now, going back to just nose hooking a bait versus threading it? Or are you threading a bait more now that you've seen some success on it?
I typically start out with the standard Gamagatsu drop shot hook, nose hook it until I start missing a few of them, and then I'll switch over. I usually have a rod rigged with a bait like that. Sometime it could be a TRD or the Z2, something that if I start missing a couple, I can pick it up real quick and pitch it in there and see if that's the ticket to work.
I want to talk about those two baits because you mentioned them a couple times now in the podcast, the TRD and then the Z2. Is it Z2, was it?
Yeah, the Z2.
The Z2. So Z2's, that's a Strike King, right?
Yeah.
Let's start out with that. What makes you pick up that bait? Why do you gravitate towards that?
Well, I think in Lake Erie, they like to feed on the Emerald Shiners. Sometimes they're on a Shad Bite or Alewives. And when you've got the Shiner color in the Z-Mans or the Gray Glimmer Pearl Belly, that's my favorite color in Lake Erie. It really imitates that. The biggest thing I think about that bait is it floats. So when the drop shot hits the bottom, the bait just doesn't slump over and go to the bottom. It kind of hangs there in front of them. I think that's really what makes those fish fire on that bait. St. Clair, I'll use the same bait, but I'll switch it over to it's more of a perch color. There's a green color and a pearl belly that I really like in St. Clair.
You mentioned the TRD. Yep. I'm assuming you're not, well, I'm sure you Ned rig, but you're actually rigging that on a drop shot as well.
Absolutely.
Is it wacky rig, nose hooked? How are you fishing that?
Usually nose hooked. But again, that's a good one to thread up the hook if you'd like to, because that you can get that hook way to the back of the tail there. And if they're nipping at that tail, they'll get it.
So patience comes into mind when you're rigging that bait through, you know, a Z-Man, a Laztec type of plastic can be a pain sometimes. Do you find that to be the case when you're trying to thread that hook, or is it just try to get it as even and straight on the hook that you can?
Just try to get it as straight as you can so it doesn't twist when it's falling down in the water. They last quite a while, but still, if you end up with a bait that won't stay on that barb, mm-hmm. switch the bait around and hook it from the other side until it's wore out, pick up another one.
So what's the perfect hook to use for that? I'm trying to figure it out myself, really.
Well, I use a RoboWorm rebarb hook when I can find them. I've also looked into using the Trocar style hook that I don't remember the number, but it's a longer straight shank hook mm-hmm. with the same kind of collar on it. And the difference between the two, that rebarb has a really small collar that can fit into the Elastec plastic and stay there. The Trocar hooks, the collar is just a little larger and it doesn't want to stay within that Elastec plastic as well, but it does work.
And your typical setup from your drop shot weight to the hook, when you're using this type of floating plastic, does that vary? Or do you switch it up a little bit when it comes to the length and what's your typical length, I guess?
Typical is going to be about 16 to 18 inches in a leader length. If you're on St. Clair and you're fishing around grass, you often go quite a bit longer. You could go 2 or 2.5 feet. A lot, you know, when you cast it out there and you've got an inclination to your line, you want to have it above that grass. And if you've only got 16 inches or so, you could be in the grass. Mm. The setup would go just a standard lead weight. I pour a little round ball lead weights, and then 16 inches to your hook. And then I have another 6 or 8 inches to a Spro power swivel, number 10 Spro power swivel. And then I'll have another 8 foot of fluorocarbon leader to my main line braid.
And that'll just help line twist, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So fishing tournaments and becoming more familiar, you mentioned areas that you want to explore even further would be the St. Clair and the St. Clair River.
Yes.
I know I've had a little bit of experience up there. I love that type of fishing. How do you prepare for an event coming up?
I usually spend 2 days before a BFL in practice. So I'll try to section the lake off. If I want to go to Lake St. Clair, if it's out of St. Clair I know I want to stay, I may take a day where I'm going to run the middle of the lake and the south shore. Maybe day 2 would, depending on wind, could be the St. Clair River and the north side of the lake, Anchor Bay, and just kind of hit everything that that fits the pattern for the general time of year that you're there.
So do you find when you're practicing for a tournament, are you just going over past history or are you actually trying to look for something new? I mean, there's so much water to cover in 2 days. What direction do you go?
Past history can get you in a lot of trouble. But it really helps. One thing I do, I keep a lot of notes. And the way I keep notes is I'll use my cell phone and dictate notes to myself as I'm driving home from a tournament. So if that week I may have found them in Anchor Bay, or I may have found them out of the main lake, I'll go over the time of year, the conditions, and just where I had found my fish and how I caught them. And then I'll keep that record for years. And as I go up for that event, I'll listen to those recordings in my truck as I'm driving. And then I'll start, you know, piecing together the puzzle from there. So if I know that, you know, last year I did pretty good fishing, you know, shallower than normal, following the grass out, you know, I might start looking for the grass edge where I had left off last year at that time, and then work my way out to more of my main lake areas, like those ridges I described, where I know they're going to be every year and they tend to show up at the same time every year.
It's amazing how much you forget. I mean, you, even though you've done it, you lived it, you fished it, you forget that over a year time. And it's like, you go back on these notes, or even for my case, just being able to film it and watching an old video where it's like, wow, I did that or that happened. It really can get you dialed in a lot more quicker, at least give you some ideas, and then you can build off of that. But it sounds like you got a pretty good game plan when it comes to the Great Lakes. What are your goals in the future? I mean, do you plan on, are you happy just fishing kind of the local stuff and fishing the BFLs?
I would really like to fish a full series of the Ray of Acts or the Northern Opens if I could. Just time away from work is, you know, your biggest concern there. I work at a refinery here in Lima. It's pretty demanding and what I can get off work and how often I have to be there. So I'm not sure that I can do a full season every year, but one of these years I'll pick a time and do it.
So I ask everybody on the show, I'd love to know what your personal best bass is and a little story behind that.
I've caught several 7-pound largemouth down in Okeechobee. Mm-hmm. I've caught them.
How about smallmouth? Well, we'll get to that. Definitely want to know your biggest smallmouth as well.
So at Okeechobee, well, I want to say all of them have been caught on Senkos, just in different areas of the lake. For me, catching a big old 7-pound largemouth, you don't get those in Ohio. So that's pretty special. Mm-hmm. We go down to Okeechobee about every year, and it's just a great time to go down with friends and do that. As far as a smallmouth, I've caught a good number of 6-pounders, most of them actually out of St. Clair in the fall. I think my biggest was only a 624, but that's still a pretty big one. Mm-hmm. And caught it on a blade bait, a Vibe, little gold Vibe.
Blade bait. We didn't even talk about that. Whew. Killer technique.
They're not typically used in tournament season in the Great Lakes up here. At least I don't use them. They tend to attract sheephead. If you didn't know that, if you take them out on Lake Erie, you will catch every sheephead in the lake. And on St. Clair, they just catch weeds.
Hmm. In the summer months.
In the summer months. Yeah.
Wow.
But in the fall, great bait. You can't get away from it. It's great.
What's your blade bait of choice?
I like to throw a Vibe, a little 1/2-ounce gold Vibe would be my blade bait of choice. I can usually pick them up here at one of the local tackle shops around Indian Lake, local to me.
So I ask this question as well with everyone. If I had to give you one bait to use the rest of the season to catch smallmouth, whether it be Lake Erie, St. Clair, that whole region, what would that bait be? It's all you can throw.
It's all I can throw, and it's not going to be my confidence bait. It's going to be the little Z2 right here.
This
on the drop shot, that's going to be my confidence bait every time. So if I were to pick a bait for all year and that's all I can use, that's the one it's going to be.
Do they make a couple different sizes or is it just one?
They make a couple. So I do use the smaller size as well.
Okay.
So this is more of a 4-inch size. The other one is like a 3-inch size or 3 1/4 or something. So, but both of them work very well.
Have you used that threading technique with that bait as well? Or is Absolutely. That
Okay. Absolutely. And you got to be careful with such a large bait. It'll tend to want to wrap around on your hook and foul as it goes down. But definitely, you can use this bait as well to thread it up.
All right, Matt, really good stuff. A lot of great information. I really appreciate you coming on the show today. How can people follow you, keep track of what you got going on out there?
Well, I've got a Facebook page, just my name, Matt Elkins. I do have a YouTube channel, Matt Elkins Fishing. I don't post a whole lot, but occasionally I do. I'd like to do a little more of that. I also have an Instagram and Twitter account. I'm not very active on Twitter, but Instagram definitely under Matt Elkins Fishing.
Oh, cool. And we'll actually put all those links in the description below for this video as well.
So as far as sponsors, I really don't have a whole lot, any sponsors. I do go over to a friend of mine's every once in a while, BJ Baxter. He has LBA baits and will work on pouring up different colors of plastics for drop shots. And that's always fun to do. I'm working on pouring up a few different swim baits with him. He hand pours the swim baits, and I just very much like a Kytec. So a lot of times I'll get those from him and try them out as I go forward learning the swim bait process.
Really appreciate you coming on, and you're always welcome back. This was some great information.
All right. Thank you very much, Travis.
Awesome. And as always, guys, until next time, we'll see you on the water.
Thanks so much for listening today. Make sure that you're subscribed to the show and follow us on Instagram at Smallmouth Crush. Also, the YouTube channel, Smallmouth Crush. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and comment with a review below. And as always, until next time, we'll see you on the water.